a very nice keep cup.
I'm a very clean liver. I actually drink air conditioning. Thank you for coming, okay. Sophia.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Seeing you in a long time.
Well, I haven't seen anyone in a long time.
I bet you've seen Chris here or there.
Yeah.
You guys keep in contact a little bit. Mm-hmm. I do miss that man.
Same. Right now, I'm like, man.
Yeah.
I'm the clingy attachment type.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I'm like, oh, let's cuddle again. Lockdown's been great for me.
Yeah.
Like, isn't this great that you can't leave?
Yeah. I like the idea of you just propositioning in with cuddling. Like, yeah. Hey, remember that thing I like to do? What do you think about 5 minutes from now? What do you think about 10 minutes from then?
That is what I do. I'm like, so, baby, what are we doing tonight?
You're not even trying to look sexy. You're just trying to look cuddleable.
Yeah.
Hey,
which
what
is
do you
hard
think about
me? Because it's just like these kind of awful hip bones and elbow bones. And yeah.
Maybe you need to, like some foam, like a foam outfit.
You just have to really love me to commit.
I remember I heard this guy, I can't remember who it was, but he was like, talking about how he's like, my girlfriend's very skinny. It's like spooning a bike.
Yeah, I'm sure guys say that stuff behind my back.
Oh, you know?
Oh no.
Well, you're a very high-priced mountain bike, Sophia.
Wow, thank you. Yeah, I'm like one of the ones. I'm getting off-road.
Yeah.
One of the ones that as a kid, you'd be like, Mom, please.
Please, I want the Lance Armstrong special.
Yeah, biking to school is really hard these days.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What if you were like a parent and you were really excited for your kids to go back to school and now it's COVID. Now you have to deal with those little bastards all
the
time.
Well, what's the deal? Because I've seen kids seeming at school.
Yeah.
Like, are they back?
I think
Kevin, you're out
are,
of the parent loop here.
Yeah, I know.
Like, Kevin's like, and no one's at school.
No one's at school.
No, people, that's what's worse though, is that people are. Like, I saw a group of kids the other day walking and they weren't wearing masks and they were just all in a flock.
See? Filthy. Yeah.
I also noticed too, I guess they've been like away from school for so long that they don't know like how to walk to school properly. Like they're in the streets when I'm
walking
driving.
Into
I'm
walls.
Like,
right. They haven't got that shawl thing.
No, they haven't had the whole year to like practice this, I guess.
Yeah. So walking up walls vertically somehow. Everything's changed during COVID. It's like, yeah. You know? So wild.
I'm glad I don't have kids.
Yeah.
But everyone says it's the best thing. You know?
They have to.
My hairdresser was trying to push me into it, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, it'll change your, like, it's the best thing that'll ever happen to you. And I'm like, man, I've done some cool shit.
Yeah. I like being completely selfish with my time.
Yeah.
And that includes, like, my jobs I have.
Yeah.
Like, I like being like how I told you, I'm like, I'm going to go to LA for 3 months next
week.
Well,
you do a lot. You do a lot of jobs, right?
Yeah.
Like no one can, like somehow you're in every place.
Yep.
But it's like, Kevy does this. Oh, but he also has, it's like you have 4 full-time.
It doesn't make any sense, really.
Like and I can manage half a career, kind of.
Well, but it's funny because she's similar. And so pretty much every time we see each other, we're just both like, God damn it.
Yeah.
God, but is that damn nice? Because you don't have time to dwell.
No, I dwell.
Okay.
That's my other job. That's my fifth job.
Right, because my goal is to be busy enough that I can't like rethink my past. During COVID, I was like, man, that time that I lost $1 million. You know, like it was just.
Did you lose $1 million?
Well.
That sounds like a good story.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is a story I should tell. I've never told this because I don't, well, it's fine to admit. I think Louis, oh God, I shouldn't bring up Louis C.K. in a podcast. But you know, that bootleg special that we all didn't listen to.
Yeah.
You probably didn't, or you did. Where he was talking, like he's like, "Oh, I lost like $20 million last year."
Yeah.
And he was like, "It's fine to talk about it once it's gone. Like you can't.
Oh yeah.
When you've got the money, you can't be like, yeah, I've. But no. So I invested in a weird little cryptocurrency in 2014, and then in 2017, I was like. I guess I'm going to Europe.
So you cashed out?
Well, no, I didn't. Well, see, okay. This is half of the problem. Well, I stayed in. I kept staying in. So I just, and then during 2018, when I was in Canada, I think it hit its peak. I was in Basque. I was in like a little coffee shop in San Sebastian, I think, with my friend. And it was still going up. And he looked at the thing and he's like, Sophia. Fuck, man. You know, Bitcoin hit 25,000 fucking euro, whatever, you know. Are you allowed to swear on the podcast?
I insist.
Yes. Oh, okay, good. Because he swears a lot, I think, yeah. And I was like, and he's like, you should sell, man. And I was like,
oh. You're like, let it ride,
well,
baby.
Well, the problem was, is like, everyone was telling me to sell when it was at 100,000. Everyone was telling me to sell when it was at 2. So, and then I was like, don't FOMO, don't panic sell. And then I just didn't panic sell for a year. And then at the end of 2018, I was like, I think it's 750,000 now. You know, like I was sort of in like a weird, yeah. But what I'm doing is I'm just holding till the next bull run in 2021.
Yeah.
But no, it's an odd thing to go through, especially as like a poor kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think for some people, like I know a lot of developers that are like, yeah, shit, I lost 5 mil when it went down. And I was like, yeah, but the thing is you have like a job that you go to that pays you, you know, whereas as an actress, I was like, man, this is my shot to own property. You know? Like as an actress, I was like, holy.
Well, just make a movie about it.
Well, I wanted to make a movie about like a happier story, like a new money crypto person that's like moved into a new neighborhood, but they don't have any rich person skills, but they were in the right place.
I want to know what rich people skills are.
Rich people skills.
I feel like the rich people
tax
I know.
Tax avoidance. Oh, okay. Oh man, that was my thing.
Fleeing the country.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to get so, I feel like I got grim on it. Because when I looked at your list, see, this always happens when I do comedy shows as well. I look at your list and I was like, okay, illegal stuff. Don't talk about all the illegal stuff you've gotten away with so far on camera.
I'm just gonna ask.
You know?
Now I just wanna know what crimes you've committed.
Well, yes. No, so I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, don't talk about Bitcoin because no one likes to talk about that. Because no one likes to talk about it because people that didn't get in are like, don't talk about the thing. And people that did get in that lost are like, don't talk about
the thing.
So like, I've never brought it up in a comedy show on stage. Because I think I did it once at an open mic and everyone got a little bit uncomfortable.
Well, see, it's I guess people are like, what, is she bragging?
Yeah, exactly.
She made money? What?
Exactly.
I don't make money.
Exactly. So I think like what a comic count, obviously was like, I probably wouldn't ever do the crypto stuff again, you know, on a thing. So I was like, so cut all this.
No, this is what I like.
Yeah, I like it.
Because that really happened to you.
It really did. Yeah. And it's a weird, and I feel like people will think I'm lying. Do you know what I mean? Because it's an easy thing. You can be like, oh yeah, I bought, you know, and I'm like, people will think, and I have a lot of stories in my life where I'm like, if I tell someone that story, they'll be like, oh, so full of shit.
That would be great if your self-confidence was so low that when you lie, it's about losing $1 million.
People are like, oh, did
you? This cool thing almost happened.
But it was weird because it is this weird thing of like my life has, because you know how Chris Rock's got that joke of like girls can't go backwards in lifestyle. Dude, I can slide. I can go from 1 minute to being like, I'm gonna buy this cashmere sweater to being like, man, these jeans are a lot.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I'm not, what are they, organic? Like,
have you bought any clothing during COVID?
Just what I'm wearing.
Okay.
Yeah, it got to the point where I was like, man, this is a thing. I think I talked about this when I was with Ross. I don't buy clothing because I have a lot of mental hangups about buying it because I'm like, a slave made this. Yeah. You know, a river was poisoned to make this.
Yeah.
So every time I buy anything, it's like 3 days of research. So these were like sustainable, but how sustainable is?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a week of research, a week of guilt, a week of freaking out, a week of like, you know, what do petite people wear? Like, which is a constant.
So it takes a month for you to buy a pair of pants.
Yeah, it was like, get high rise if you're petite, because then your legs will look. This is the thing about jeans is every pair of jeans is like, it will make your legs look longer. Like there's no style.
Is that the goal?
Yeah. Just to look elongate. When you're 5'3".
Yeah.
Just to kind of elongate, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, so lockdown, I spent a lot of time thinking about that and how much money I lost.
It's funny to see, like, I feel like I've changed a lot every month. Like, beginning of COVID, I was actually stoked. I'm like, this is great because now no one can ask me to come to their shows for a while. I'm just going to work on my own projects. I'm going to work out even more somehow.
Yeah.
Flash cut to I'm just drinking a lot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is there was during COVID, there was a lot of, like, so I realized, I don't know why I'm getting so real on this.
Love it.
This is why we're here.
Tell all your secrets.
We made all the data cry. You're next.
Oh, God. Oh, easy. Well, no, I realized I went from adrenaline to adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And you guys can probably relate to that. You're in showbiz. You know, it was like, I didn't have a chance to think about how my lifestyle may have slid. You know, I didn't, because I was like, oh, I've got an audition. Oh, I've got a show. Oh, I've got a shoot. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got it, you know, and I was constantly living in how do I get a, you know, a laugh tonight? You know, what is this character's thoughts? So during lockdown, it was the first time that there was that kind of stillness to be like, I should address some of the bigger problems. For the first time.
I've been heavy on the therapy lately.
Heavy on the therapy. Well,
But the whole like leading up to him, I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk. I don't want to dredge up that history. And then after, I'm like, I feel pretty good. Glad I did. Then I'm like calm for the rest of the day.
Well, no, it's good. It's good. I think it's like there's this, it's almost like there's this box around the stuff we don't want to touch. But as soon as we touch it, it's almost like doing your like your practice in the morning or whatever, your routine. You're like, oh, I should work on this monologue. And you're like, no, it's a weird black box. I don't want to touch it in case. But then as soon as you're inside it, you're like, oh, I'm in a box and it's nice. You know, like, and I think I had a lot of those things where I was like, I should do a quick course in day trading and just try and get back, you know, or like I should. And it was all these things, but I was like, I just don't want to know what's in that.
By the way, Alexa and I are both just impressed you invested because we want to do that.
Well, look, do it, guys. This is what I'd say to the audience. Like, is this my direct cam? I 100% regret talking about this on a podcast.
We want to talk about it.
But I would definitely buy Bitcoin now. I would. Guys, 2021.
It's coming back.
The four-year cycle, the half-life.
That's true.
So you're using all these terms I don't even know. I'm just impressed with you.
I just I went and got like Wealth Simple, like that app. But it sucks.
Well, I think, okay, here's what I would say. This is how I would like, because I never saw myself as like a money guy. You know, I saw myself as like Yeah, like a poor hippie that was going to stay that way from birth till death, which will probably still happen, like the way things are going. Like, I never saw myself, but then I like, when I was in New York and stuff, and I kind of met some like, and in the cryptocurrency world, met some like venture capitalists and some kind of investors and some Wall Street brokers. And I was like, these guys, no offense if you're one of those people watching, fucking idiots, you know? Like, I was like, there's just this perception that we can't be that because we're the children of poets. You know, there's this perception. But it's like, you meet these people and you're like, man, you're an idiot. Like, but that's what's part of what's wrong with the world too, is like, we're like, oh, like, and this is one of my big political issues, which I've always, and I think this is partly why I got into trading, to prove that the left can do it. Because in New Zealand, when I was sort of first voting, the Prime Minister, John Key, was this right-wing dude, and he was a currency trader and he was very rich. And everyone was like, he must be so smart because he's made all this money. And I was like, look, it's easy to make money. You just have to not care about it. Well, you just have to not. And there was this perception, and I knew some guys at the time that were like, oh, rich people are smarter than poor people. And I was like, no, they just focused on making money. And I was like, this guy, this prime minister, he doesn't know how to run a country. He doesn't care about people. He knows how to make money for himself.
Oh, sounds familiar.
And of course it was tax cuts for the wealthy. Was, you know, and the trickle down effect, which has been disproven, you know, and all this bullshit. And so I think it was that thing of like, look, you know, we can do your dumb thing too. You know?
But you can't do our dumb thing.
You can't have a soul. You don't get that.
By the way, you said we're children of poets, and that should be the title of your memoir or your album, your folk album or something.
My parents are poets.
Are they actually?
So back to the growing up, poor thing.
That's so cool.
It's good that you think that.
It's cool. Wouldn't think that's amazing.
So my dad was a poet and an author. Like, I think he'd written his first sort of novel or published his first novel around the time my mom was like, oh, wow. You know, I don't know. I mean, they hate it when I tell their origin story, but I love it. It's like my favorite. So, because my mom was 17 and in high school. And he just got back from India, you know, and written his, you know, his first poetry book and won some sort of thing. And then they ended up together. But they're always like, mom's always like, oh, it was, you know, it was after the school year finished.
It's like, he took me to grad.
You don't have to tell me, mom. And then she's like, and then we toured. So she was like, writing poetry too. And then she actually got a poetry book published, and then they toured and like read poetry at schools and stuff. And mom's like, yes, we drank a lot of vodka and we read, because my mom's really adorable. So whenever she says something racy or dangerous, you're like, did you? She's like, she looks like a cherub, you know, little blue eyes. And she's like, very good. And she's like, yes. And we drank vodka and smoked cigarettes. and
that's so cute.
And spoke poem. And then, so then, yeah. So then she, I mean, look, if I was her friend at the time, I would have been like, this guy. I like tell dad that. I'm like, man, you know, like, I was like, you were beautiful. You were young, you know, you don't want to be lumped with some old poet, you know, with two other marriages going on. You know.
Yeah.
But so they lived in a teepee on the island. An island in New Zealand, not that's far from cool. Auckland. That's yeah, cool. I think mum was like, I never want to live under a roof, you know? And I was like, that may seem cool as a teen. But then, yeah, and then they had a little like studio that my dad had built for his typewriter to write.
Cool.
I think just with some whatever wood they found.
Yeah.
So I, and then the teepee came down in a storm, so they moved the family into the studio and then slowly expanded. But it was kind of like, so dad had a bookstore, and then when they kind of closed it down, they just moved all the books into the house. So it was like a weird library hut on an island with an old piano in it, and then kind of lots of poems just sort of happening. And then, yeah, so we would, yeah, I think like when I realized not to talk about the poetry thing was probably when I was about 7. And I was like, it was a talent quest. And I was like, man, I'm going to recite The Highwayman.
Yeah.
You know The Highwayman?
No.
Yeah. The road was a ribbon of moonlight.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Over the purple. Well, the highwayman came riding, riding. And it wasn't like a cool thing. You know? Everyone else was like Spice Girls, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You're like, did you point to her?
She's dressed like Sporty Spice today.
Oh, yeah.
And they were doing these really cool, like acrobatic dances, all the like pretty kind of cool. And I was like, ahem. And that's when I was like, what I am is not a thing I should talk about.
Why? You seem to still have some shame about it, but I just think all those things are very unique and interesting.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
Wow. I'm just blown away. And also how you were kind of describing yourself as this like poor hippie person, but you've done all this like world traveling. Most people don't get to do that.
Buy crypto, guys. Get in there.
You too can read poetry
honestly,
in India.
I didn't think it was on the horizon for me. And then I did travel a little bit with my partner because he sort of earned a little bit, but I never shared it. This was before in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. I never shared it on Facebook because I felt like a lot of my friends that I grew up with weren't traveling or, you know, they had kids and they were on. I didn't want to be like one of the things I hate is like conspicuous displays of wealth.
Yeah.
And I when I went and did a little bit of traveling, I kept it all off social media.
Yeah.
Cause I just know what it's like when like, cause I sort of thought when I was like, you know, a struggling actress in Auckland and I'd come off one TV show and then I was like back to working in like a kitchen factory or something, you know? And I was like, look, I'll have enough money to save for acting classes, but I don't know if traveling is ever going to be something I can do.
Yeah.
And other people that feel that way, I didn't want to be like, Rome, you know?
It's
like,
funny because it's never occurred to me as bragging that you have money is showing that you're traveling. Mm-hmm. Just because I know some people that have backpacked and stayed in the sketchiest, you know, hostels and stuff like that.
Maybe
came
in
back
New
with
Zealand,
bed bugs, from bites.
You know what? That's true.
Bed bikes. That's a skinny girl.
That's bed bikes. Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah. I think that's the
bed
name
bikes
of this
is the title of this episode.
But I didn't want to. Yeah, I didn't want to be someone that was like, here I am in a resort, or because I also think that's a lame thing. Like, I think I saw an interview with Taika Waititi where he was talking about. And he's like, what's success? He's like, it's not making money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not these things. It's, you know, and I think it's really important to have that distinction.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting what you're saying about making money, how it doesn't need to be like an intelligence thing, and it often isn't. If it's just a focus thing. And
exactly.
It's interesting because I think, because, you know, we're motivated all here to like make a living in the arts. Mm-hmm. It's like, if we just cared about making money, we could do it.
Exactly.
But your day to day, I wouldn't be livable for me. It has to be projects for me that I'm
exactly.
Like,
and that's the thing is, it's like when people say that, it offends me to my core. Probably because my dad, I mean, it's partly a bone to pick with him, but I think at one point he was offered like a decent kind of like, I think political job or something. Mm. And he was like, no, I'm just going to work on
it's
my
like,
novels.
I am a poet.
Yeah. He was like, I'm just going to work on my novels for the next 10 years and plunge my family into dire poverty and eat lentils and oats. You know?
I mean, that's a good vegan diet. But
I believe like the most intelligent people and the most, you know, good and caring and kind and thinking about the environment and thinking about how they can make the world a better place don't generally decide to be a currency, you know, a trader. They decide to do something different with their lives.
For sure. But there's also like, you know, the things that motivate us, we sometimes, at least I'm guilty of this. I assumed everyone had the same motivations for the way they live their life. Like I assumed I remember I was talking to my stepdad about being passionate about things.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm not passionate about anything. I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, he's like, I just don't, like, I just kind of, do my thing and make money, and I'm worried about my future and your mom's future and your future. Yeah. And he's like, right, so I just kind of make money.
Right-wing voters, they're everywhere. Yeah. They want that tax cut. They want that extra 800 in the pocket.
Yeah. But he was like, I think you think that other people are like passionate about things the way that you are,
you
and they aren't.
Everyone got the local shaman to tell them what their deep soul purpose was at 17, and then be like, okay, this is it.
This is it. Everybody goes through the same exact thing. Yeah. So, but that is interesting because, you know, not everyone has your motivations or your motivations, you know.
Not,
what I mean?
But also not to dismiss different people's
motivations. Well, I'm not at all. I'm just saying.
Well, I did. I was like, right wing voters. Am I right? No, but I mean, I think sometimes people also make that sacrifice for their family or.
Yeah.
But it is weird when you meet. I think I went on a few dates with someone in Vancouver, and they were like, they were like single, not planning on having kids, you know, in their 30s, whatever. And I was like, so what drives you? They were like, I just do law because.
See,
I was like, oh, I'm finding this really uninspiring, mate.
I don't want to have kids because I want to, like I said, like live selfishly. So that's my motivation is like, I'm just going to work on projects for the rest of my life.
But this is a constant debate because I remember my old roommate, Madeline, bless her soul, was like, I think you know that. She was like, oh, she really has such a positive view of comics. She's like, oh, it's so selfless that they go out there and they are there to make other people laugh, and they live these difficult lives and they sacrifice to do that. And I was like, man, I've never thought of it. Well, like, I'm like, you've got a real positive spin on these narcissists getting on stage every night.
Like, I love that thing when comedians are like, I just went and did this thing for the story so I could tell it on stage. It's like, you can lie, you know. You don't have to be a piece of shit.
Well, some people don't like, so Chris, my husband, who's a comic.
Yeah. Lovely Chris Griffin.
Yes. Oh, we love him, He doesn't like, everything he says on stage, I don't know if you know this about him, is true.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, because I asked him about stuff and I'm like, hey, is that? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, whoa, so the jail thing. There's a lot. And he, like, even when we were sort of first married and stuff, and he had to kind of quickly adjust stuff. And he's like, oh, I just hate making my old stories, switching them so that I'm married in them. I want to write all new and I want to.
Yeah.
And I mean, I respect that because there is, I think you can sense when a comic is. It's different. Unless, you know, I sometimes act it a little bit. I'm like, oh, this is all twisted and put in a different.
Yeah.
But you can definitely smell it when a comic's like, and then they told me to get out of the library. And you're like, you were never wanking in the library. Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, you're more of a hospital wanker, let's be honest. But it's interesting because like your old roommate, like I'm just a fan really of stand-up. And so things like false premises don't bother me in the way that they bother other people.
Yeah.
False premises where a comedian just goes on stage and just, it's very evident they're creating something that just clearly never happened and never could. And so it's kind of a faux pas, but like my favorite comedian is Anthony Jeselnik. It's all lies.
Yeah.
So, but you just kind of sign up for that off the top. And then you're
like, it's so interesting that he's your favorite. I mean, he's tight.
Yeah.
He's not like, that immediately makes me feel insecure as a rambler.
Why?
Immediately like.
No, but I also love, like I have a Dave Chappelle tattoo. Like I also love all kinds. Yeah, but
he's
like,
so tight and he's so, and it is, when you listen to it, you're like, man.
It's just a perfectly well-written punch in the face every time. And that's kind of what I like about it as a songwriter.
Kind of like poetry.
Yeah. Right? Or like pop music.
As a songwriter too, yeah.
Yeah, like pop music. Like the things that inspire me as a musician and like songwriter over the years have changed to now I like when it's just all the fat is trimmed out of this perfect thing.
Right.
And it's like, ooh, like I that inspires me when I hear that.
Yeah. See, I like the fat to be trimmed, but the audience to never know there was fat trimmed.
Yeah.
Like, well, the audience to think, man, this person is just rambling, but it's the tightest ramble.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. And I love that with songs too. Like I want that something, that artistic something.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. You know, but I feel like I was thinking about this earlier with like comedy and acting and the kind of differences. I feel like comedy is so robust in a sense. Like you can kick the shit out of your comedy set. You know, you can punch it, you can beat it. Mm-hmm. Someone can be like, man, that joke was terrible.
Yeah.
And you can be like, all right, cross it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And switch it. And then it's still, you can still get up and it be decent, you know? Whereas acting can have a sensitivity where you're kind of like,
There's a dynamic.
Like, I'll just focus on that fly in the window and then suddenly all this emotion will rush in and this way will, you know, it's like a much more delicate.
Yeah.
Whereas I can pull out an 8-year-old joke and be like, oh, this will do.
Yeah.
You know, whereas with that, I'm like, oh, I'm bored of that monologue. Or, you know, like, I've run the scene too many times, it feels stale.
I've heard comedians say that about their jokes.
I think they do. I think they get that, but I think they especially get that when they're doing the same rooms in town.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because a part of your brain goes, I've seen that person before in the front row. Whereas I think when you're out of town, you can be a bit more freed because you're going to like, man, they're going to love this bit from 2013.
Yeah.
It'll be topical for this town too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And you can tag it differently maybe.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I was thinking about like, back when I used to perform music, remember that?
Oh. You said, but I mean, well, COVID
yeah,
is.
Yeah, like, I just mean, like I had so much stuff canceled, but I was thinking about like-
You were canceled.
I was canceled. My tour dates were very much canceled. I was thinking about like what I like to perform live. And I think I really am like what Madeline says, where it's like, I just really want to do the songs that the crowd's going to enjoy. Like that's really
play
like
something
what-
we all know.
Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah. Like that's why we always do like every tour we do, we figure out like a new cover that will be fun. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to get fun. Well, like when I saw Violent Femmes, I was like, what? This isn't Blister in the Sun. Yeah. I was so confused.
Play Blister in the Sun 12
times. I don't
times.
Know this song. Yeah. Just play that.
Play the song from Drew Carey.
But no, I agree. I mean, I think the best shows you do are like when I've had nights where I've kind of like, I've not necessarily felt like going to comedy and I've genuinely, not to kind of like, what is it? Virtue signal. But I genuinely thought to myself, I swear to God, I genuinely thought, you know, like these people might be having a bad day.
Yeah.
Or they might like, I've tried to get myself to a place where it's like, you know, what's going to motivate me to go to this gig?
Yeah.
You know, like maybe, just maybe I'll make someone's life a bit happier or they'll release a bit of pain or tension or something. Mm-hmm. And I've been like, if I can do that. And those are generally better gigs because you're not worried about yourself. You're like, look, I don't know how I got here in life, you know, but for whatever reason, I'm a stand-up comedian now and, you know, and I want to do something good.
Yeah.
I believe that I'm doing something good. You know?
Yeah,
but then
sure.
On the other end of that, you don't want to become too pretentious and be like, I'm helping the world. You know, I'm God's gift. Like, I think it was, what's his name? Tom Waits. Mm-hmm. Who I love Tom Waits. Yeah, he's so pretty. He is saying something like, oh, you know, it's just like a little, it's just decorations for people's mind. Or, you know, like, I think with art, you want to both respect it and casualize it all at once.
Yeah. Because, oh, for sure. That's such a good
because
point.
Because you don't want to be too like,
precious
I am now saving the world through laughter. You know, you want to be like, I'm an idiot, you know, above a strip club, you know.
Yeah, well, I find that anything you think to death is artistically, you're going to ruin.
Yeah. You want to throw it away sometimes.
Yeah.
See what happens, you know?
Yeah. Like I think that can be a skill, is realizing when something's finished too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just could work on the
but
same
But that is a
forever.
Skill. That is a skill too, because most of the time I think you're looking at it as like most of the time precious people, like it's not finished yet or it's not, how much rawness do I retain? Mm-hmm. But a lot of the stuff I will look at, like my brother sent me his sort of novel, you
just
know,
a bunch of writers.
Yeah. Oh my God! My mom, my dad, my both my brothers,
that's
my aunt.
So
I know.
Cool.
I know. I'm like the wacky capitalist.
Like, that's, you know, the title of your
in
comedy
the big
album.
Smoke, you know, doing like showbiz, which pays like incrementally more.
Yeah.
Depending on how well your novel does. But I was actually more saying to Rowan, like, man, this isn't finished, my brother. You know, because I think with comedy, you actually learn tightening skills you wouldn't learn in any other art form.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I mean, maybe music's similar, but like, because with an acting scene, almost the rawer the better. I want to turn up and kind of be like, man, I didn't even realize that was gonna. Mm-hmm. And you want some of that magic in comedy, but like, you, as you know, your hour of new jokes becomes 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And I think that rigor of kind of like, I think it's because it's constantly audience tested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think
for
if
sure.
you're on your own writing out your joke book, you'd be like, this is all great. And that happens to me a lot because my mind is a bit weird. Like, that I'll be like, man, this will be. And then people be like, no one knew what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit. You know, because I remember once when I sort of first arrived in town, this comic was kind of bitching about a person that had done a joke similar to them and was stealing their, you know.
Yep.
And I was like, hey, if you ever think I'm like, it would be accidental, just let me know. And she was like, no one would think you're stealing anyone's jokes.
You're like, thank you, but also how dare you?
Yeah, but also, what?
That was accomplice assault.
Yeah. But yeah, you have to really, and I was looking at it being like, man, if this was a stand-up set, but maybe it is just a different, I'd be like, man, that's got a bit of junk, or that's got a bit of, especially if you're wanting to be funny in a chapter, that's when my brain instantly goes, maybe just even as a number, I go, 25% of these jokes can stay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just straight away. because I know that that's a good number, you know?
Yeah.
So when someone's being funny in a book, or, you know, my dad's been writing some like funny poems during lockdown, and I'm like, and I just want to kind of be like, I want to be like, well, that's a good punch, but you need to cut that fat. And like, that's
you should put them on Twitter.
Yeah, well, he puts them on Facebook, and then he reads them, and then mum does like an art picture. My mum's an artist.
Wow, they like each other still. I love that.
I know.
It's weird. So rare.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is what I was saying to Sophie the other night. This is maybe a funny story, but because they're such believers in true love, because that's how they justify the
they
rampant
sound like
poverty.
Poets.
You know, yeah. They're like, oh, you know, we've got true love. You know, we've got that. You know,
it's amazing.
And I'm like, that's lame. Can I have the, you know, just dreaming of like two rich parents that despise each other.
Yeah.
This mansion, you know, it was so awkward growing up, but so nice, you know.
Yeah, yeah. We got a mansion so we don't have to see each other.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But they're like, yeah, so I sort of grew up with all these ideas about like true love and romanticism, and, you know, read a lot of like Shakespeare, and, you know, and that's not a good thing, I think. Like, I wouldn't do that to my kid.
Yeah.
Because it ruins your game so hard. You know, like, I remember, like, I think I was like 17, and I went on like a couple dates with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I think he'd like, yeah, we'd been out on like one, we'd like hung out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hadn't like texted me, and I was like, oh, I'll text him something cute, but I'll do it in like Shakespearean verse.
Yeah.
You know? Because he'll love that.
You know, it's like 17-year-old guys like, are.
Dude, you know?
Yeah.
And then so I
they love a good sonnet.
Yeah, I sent my like original verse through, and then I never heard from him again.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh, no. So at that point I was like, oh, it's not just the acne at this point. It's, you know, it's not the posture, you know, it's me. It's something I
no.
You know,
his loss.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, well, yeah. I think he's a pilot. I think but prior to that, I was all like, oh, he's a pilot. And then after that, I was like, bus drivers of the sky. I was like, really dark on it. I was like, thinks he's all that. You know?
Yeah. Bus drivers of the sky.
This. Yeah. Well, that's when I thought of that, because I was like, whoa. It's that weird thing of, you know, when you date someone, you want like whatever they are, you want to be the best thing.
Yeah.
But whenever it's over, whatever that is, you want it to be the worst thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the thing that you used to celebrate is now the thing you're like.
Yeah. You're like, that's not cool at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I find it's interesting hearing people how they speak about their exes. It really is telling. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's, you're saying that I'm mean.
I'm not saying you're mean because
I love my real exes.
Yeah.
Just the ones I actually went out with for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
I adore them.
Yeah, that bus driver in the sky.
Yeah.
Guy left you on red. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
That's not
like,
what I'm talking about.
If you're gonna actually like be with me for a while, I'll love you forever.
Yeah.
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 If you're gonna leave me on red after a sonnet.
I wrote a sonnet. You never wrote a sonnet.
And it was decent.
I wanna know what it was. Yeah. I wanna hear it.
Man, that was some Nokia. I don't know. I don't know what.
I was playing Snake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, whoever that guy is, planes basically land themselves at this point. So let's not
Yeah, it's not bus driver of the sky anymore. It's
I'd say being a bus driver is harder, actually. The people you have to deal with.
Yeah. Well, this the poor children. Guy. I can't even remember his name. He's going to be.
See? It's not worth remembering.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the segment we've been having sometime on this show where someone will just come on and they'll tell us a story and I'll tell that person to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
It really is like when Ambika came on.
Yeah.
You know, Ambika Voss.
Oh, I love Ambika Voss.
Yeah, she went on a dating show and the guy was like, I don't think I'd like to go on another date with her. And I was like, fuck you, Clayton, or whatever.
Duncan.
You've got to be quite brave, I think, to go on a dating show, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of, I like just dealing with that rejection. I mean, dealing with that rejection at any point, let alone dealing with, I mean, at
publicly.
that point, I was like, man, fair enough. I can see what this guy's
doing. Like, when you get sheepish, your hands go in your pockets.
Like, I can see where this guy's coming from.
I do sit awkwardly after all.
He made some great points. I was telling Sophie about this on the podcast. During lockdown with Chris, like he noticed a few things about me that were like a bit strange, you know?
Okay.
That I was like, oh man, how is this not? Because like I was talking about like when my dad eats and I was like, oh, he does this weird. And he's like, Chris was like, oh, does he eat with his mouth open?
It's like, is that hereditary then?
And I was like, wait a minute. And I was like, do I? And then I really freaked out, and I texted Madeline, and I was like, hey, did you ever notice that I ate with my mouth open? And she was like, I thought we talked about this. And I was like,
she's like, remember I told you I hate that?
Yeah. I was like, I don't remember. And she was like, yeah, I said like, you know, you just said that you should love me as I am, you know? And I was like, good reply from me. But also I was like, who else have I lost from this kind of, and my coach was like, oh, it's not that bad. I only noticed it that one time when you were eating those olives. And I was like, man. And I was like, this blows piss. I was like, Madeline, this was bigger than the bath mat thing. Like, you should have said, like, because she was so focused on me using the bath mat that I was like, you should have said, you know, about the chewing thing. But so now, and I was like, okay, this, I know it's late in life, but I was like, this is a thing I'm going to change actively. Yeah. So then I was like, very careful, like all breakfast just. Okay. Just in there. But it took so long. To eat anything, and I can't talk incessantly, which is my favorite thing to do. So I'm just there at breakfast, just.
Chris is like, "Are you deep in thought this morning?"
No, I'm just poor. Like- Chris is like, "Nice and quiet time," you know. Yeah. And then the other thing was like, was just.
He looks up. He's like, "It's quiet in here."
He's like, "We're from different. I'm from a family where, like you were saying, with being out with comedians.
Yeah,
I'm very comfortable in that because." Talking over each other. Mm. Oh, some eyes just looked at me. It's like talking over each other is like a normal, hello there. A normal thing, you know? It's like, let's all yell over each other. Mm-hmm. And whoever yells the loudest wins.
Has the best point.
Whereas Chris is from a kind of quiet Calgary home, you know, where everyone's just, and it was sort of experiencing a family not talking for some moments.
Mm.
And I was like, is something wrong? but then like Chris, like when I was like talking to my brother on Skype, because he's in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
We still call it Skype, but we really use Facebook, don't we? We're like, it's, you know, I'm Skyping someone. Because no one wants to see, I video called on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking to him, and then Chris like has been out for a run. I think it was like midnight. It was during lockdown. We were just doing whatever we felt we needed to do. So then he came back in and I was talking to my brother, and he had thought that I was having a huge fight with someone.
Oh.
But that's just my normal volume of talking to my, I'm like, Rowan, you idiot. I'm like, we're just having a loving, you know, but he's like, I can always tell when you've been talking to your family because your volume's like way. And then he needs to bring me back. He needs to be like, baby, inside. Boys, you know, I'm in bed like, what?
Oh like, man, I just remembered, you know, the being from New Zealand, you know, the singer Lady Hawk?
Yes.
She's my friend, and we were somewhere once, and she was talking about how people in LA hate Red Hot Chili Peppers. And she was like, they're the fucking chilies, man. Yeah. And smashed the table.
Who are these people? I know. Like, Kiwi chicks. Yeah, there was a lot of, like, when I arrived, like, I didn't realize there were these attitudes towards Kiwi. Well, people that know Kiwi women. But my friend, I knew one.
They're good opinions, but Kiwis.
Good things, yeah.
Yeah, it's Australians they don't like.
Yes. I know, we really snuggle under that. That's why I've got that bit, my sort of comedy bit, where I'm like, oh, we're different.
Yeah, yeah.
We sound different. They're criminals.
Well, Lady Hawk was like, listen, we're like Canadians.
Yeah.
Australians are like Americans. Okay?
That's made a lot, yeah. But my friend Jesse said to me when I arrived, there's one thing I do notice. And he was like, because he lived in New Zealand, that's how I knew him. He did comedy there for a few years. So when I came, he was like the only person I knew. And I was like, what's Canada like?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, look, Sophia, you're going to need to swear a lot less.
like, what do you mean, cunt?
I was like, fuck you, man. But no, he was like, I just don't think you realize. And then I loved, you know, I wanted, and I still think, you know, when you think about a Facebook thing that you wanted to share and you didn't, someone shared like a darn the police, you know, Canada gets in there. And I thought it was so funny, but I was like, I know that no one else will think this. And I didn't share it because I was like, I know that this is like a 1990s like hack bit. But to me, it's so funny. And I know that a couple of people in New Zealand would be like, Canadians or something. But I was like, no, don't. I resist a lot of stuff because I know from experience that people are like, that's not as funny as you think.
Yeah.
Oh man, especially on social media.
Oh, I know. No one even cares. I'm like, I don't want to add to the.
Yeah. I know. It's like not fun anymore.
Yeah.
I know. Honestly. I know. I don't know what to do with Facebook anymore. I'm like, do I keep sharing my political views?
Oh man.
Do I? Like,
I feel like such a boomer when I do it, but I'm like, it's important.
That is how we're seen though, by right? the youth.
Yeah. Yeah.
The youth. Well, they're on Instagram. Like, I don't know what to do. I mean, my social media game's never been strong. As based on my handle, Sophia Johnson 505, give me a follow. That's a story in itself. Like, I don't even need to tell you what that means. Like,
I think you do.
Well, no. So they, I was like, I tried for Sophia Johnson, yeah. and they were like, we don't have it anymore. And I was like, man, 5 years too late to the party, you know? Yeah. And they were like, how about Sophia Johnson 505? And I was like, man, I guess that's my only option.
Well, you think I like being Dr. Kevy? Kevy's taken, and he hasn't even logged into his Instagram since 2013.
What?
And he accidentally gets tagged by people all the time.
Get rid of that guy.
Yeah, let's kill him.
You can actually.
Good idea, Sophia.
Yeah,
you let's can kill definitely. Him.
And it's funny, I just realized I'm Alexi Johnson, and right. I've been like looking forever for Alexi Johnson, mm-hmm. but that one's active. But the ones that aren't active, you can go in and like request that they like remove them and you take their username.
Ooh, hey. There could be some. I mean, but I've been told options. People are like, you know, you can change your handle and you don't lose followers. Yeah. And I'm like, what is the science? Yeah. but I'm thinking about it. Because like, every time they're like, okay, plug your social media. And I'm like, Sophia Johnson 505. And everyone else is like, the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, but then I'm like, I don't know. I think social media is hard because, and this is, it's always bad when something's more defined by what you hate about it than what you love about it. Like,
yeah.
I think for me, social media, like, I want to be like, oh, I love when people share this and I love, but I'm just like, I hate it when actors are like, audition today, LOL, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, I mean, you guys, it's hard for people to understand that don't have 400 actor friends,
yeah.
but it's like the worst,
oh yeah,
lowest scum level of like self-promotion and just horror. So I'm always trying not to do, but I think yeah. I should be like, oh, I love it when it's more positive.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I love it when people post something helpful or thought provoking yeah. or beautiful yeah. or like actually post some content that's real or some like mm-hmm. cool yeah. tips or some like.
That's actually helpful.
So I'm like, what if I was looking at someone else's social media, would I be like, oh, that made my day a bit better rather than. Ah!
Yeah. Oh man, I found that like Facebook was just really getting me down for a while because it was people would express something political on Facebook. And then people would jump all over them. And then the people who were jumping all over them being like way across crossing the line of negativity and meanness
yeah.
were getting supported by other people. Yeah. So I saw someone on a other comedian's page post something. Like a comedian posted a defund the police joke and then someone didn't
exactly
get it was a
what
joke.
You're talking
yeah,
about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think so too.
And then yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Well, this was huge. This was like
yeah, and it,
the biggest comedy drama of lockdown.
Well, just the negativity of yeah. the person who was just questioning it was yeah. just, you should die. You're ugly. It just got yeah. so mean so quick. And it like, I wasn't even involved and it hurt my feelings to read it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh I'm God. Too sensitive nah. for this.
Well, what happened? I mean that I did talk to, yeah, one of the guys in follow and he was like, this is actually
yeah.
racism. This is actually scary. This
it's
is like,
really scary.
And I was like, look, me and Chris will come down
yeah.
to the show if yeah. you're ever feeling uncomfortable and yeah. I'll be the muscle. Like,
yeah.
But no, it
you're
gets,
very intimidating.
And it happened again. I mean, you're probably, I don't know if you were in this loop, but it happened again last week. With someone shared something and then the comments were like, I think someone was like, I wouldn't, about a producer in town, like I wouldn't mind if she was nailed to a floor
oh,
in a burning building.
That. It's just horrible.
And I was like, but it's hard to know like how to kind of be with like, because I definitely agree with that thing of like, the only thing that's needed for, I'm going to paraphrase this quote horribly, for evil men to triumph is good men to do nothing or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's like, in the end, I supported the other person's post and just liked it and yeah. said like something false, like we love you and we support
yeah.
you. Because you don't want to get involved as such into the spiral of doom that's happening.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to just like accept.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You don't want to be like, I'm okay with this or I'm not going to stand behind this person who I think needs support right now and that I
absolutely
agree, you know, like.
But yeah, I also think yeah, you're exactly. not going to teach anybody mm-hmm. anything by being horrible to them.
Yeah.
You're just going to make them defensive. So if you actually have a conversation yeah. and are respectful with each other, everybody's going to benefit from it.
Oh
so.
Man, imagine yeah. if the world did that.
yeah.
It's like tonight's debate night and you're like, if people just listened and were well, respectful.
It's like this in relationships yeah. too. If you're insulting each other, it's a selfish act because you're yeah. not accomplishing anything other than stroking your own ego. So
yeah.
what
yeah.
is happening in this podcast?
Oh my God.
You and I are usually so wacky.
I'm sorry. I know
what
this happened.
I'm usually telling people's exes to go fuck themselves. Not this episode.
I can be a downer, man. Well, no, because when I did one with Ross, like we started out and then I was like, when I was working in this kitchen factory, I was crying every day and my hands were aching and I started getting into factory rights and, you know, and then Ross was like.
I can relate so hardcore to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ross was like clothing and then by the end of it, I was like, I know this was meant to be funny. And I'm really sorry about what's happened.
No.
But it's hard. I mean, it's hard now too. Because when you do start just having a deep chat with someone, or with someone kind of is like, hey, I'm going to listen to you for a bit.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa. You know, let me tell you about some mistakes I've made in life. Straight off the bat. You're cutting that, right?
Never. I would never cut you. By the way, I remembered something I was going to say like 15 minutes ago about chewing with your mouth open. Is I have a friend who he got accused of it. And he's like, my teeth are big.
Yeah. Yes. So, so this is the issue. I think I've got more teeth than I do mouth. No, because I've got kind of a small mouth, but I've got a lot of this. Yeah. You know? So I think I'm like, early on, I just sort of, it came to a thing where I could talk, hum, sing, eat, do it all. You know?
All at the same time.
Yeah. But no, now, Kevy, I'm really working on it.
Oh, yeah?
Because, I don't want it to be a thing. Because some people, like my cousin, like the sound of chewing, like it's considered. And like Madeline said to me when I sort of called her up and was like, hey, Carissa's noticed I chewed. Was that ever? And she's like, it's considered. I think Chris said too, it's considered like top 10 date
faux pas.
Yeah, like walk away, you know. And so I was going back through my mind, being like, man. Usually though, if I'm like really into a date or something, I struggle to eat because I'm like so excited.
Oh.
So I'll be like, I'll always order like the smallest thing, and then I'll just have like one. I'll like have like a spoon of soup and then be like,
you're like 10 more drinks.
And then I'll be like, and then what were you gonna say? I have a way I can lose a lot of confidence. So I'm like, okay. I've got like negative game. Like you've got to really like me. To
really?
Be like, yeah, you're gonna, cause I'll be like, okay, so then. Ooh, and then I'm like, I'm smiling too much. Like, no, I'm smiling too much. Like, you know, I look better when I'm.
You do better when you don't like the other person. You're like, I'm totally comfortable with this. Like, I don't care about you at all. You bus driver of the sky.
Well, that didn't go well for me. Yeah, but I'll tend not to. I was looking at the date stories, and I was like, oh, this is hard because. I was saying to Sophie the other night too in Vancouver, it's so like the New Zealand scene's so different in terms of, I don't know if I ever dated. I just sort of, cause I remember I met a guy here from somewhere else and he was talking about New Zealand. He's like, oh, New Zealand people, they're all like in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we kind of couple up.
Mm.
Whereas here there's like, I don't know, everyone's like, I'm single. I don't know. It's just a different vibe. But I think dating here is very hard. Like subject, like I've read articles.
That's always what I hear.
Everyone said like, it's crazy. And I was like, I was saying to Sophie, I think it's like, you know, here, I think there's like two girls to every one guy.
Or oh, really?
Like, wow.
There's some math or whatever. But I was like, yeah, here you have to pretend to like jazz. You have to be like in New Zealand, you'd be like, oh, I'm just going to date someone less pretentious.
I hope Sam Tonning isn't listening.
As I said that, I was like, Sam will be like, yeah.
His neck just hurts for some reason.
And then he went and quaffed a whiskey and played some snooker. I was like, why do people think I'm pretentious? No, I say that in loving Sam Tonning as
love
a human
Sam
being. Everything about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I respect someone with refined taste.
It's funny though, because I will notice in stand-up comedy, there is a sect of people who have that taste.
Yeah.
It's like Sam Tonning, Miles Anderson.
Yeah.
Who else? There's a couple other people.
Yeah, Miles,
Joey Camiso was like talking about that the other day.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, Joey, yeah. Joey sounds like such a thug. It's just, we shouldn't talk about someone you don't, I mean, hopefully the audience knows.
We just had Joey on we didn't even get to talk. It was hilarious.
I won't do it.
He's like, so I embarrassed myself in front of Michael Douglas.
Wow. He's such a gangster, hey?
He is, but he's a sweetheart.
Yeah, I know.
He's
like, I got a baby now, and I got a baby now.
So cute.
I like it because he has quintessential Queens Italian accent, and he's like, I don't know how to speak Italian at all.
Yeah. I know. I mean, he probably told you the story. I shouldn't do Joey's gear on my podcast.
Just do Joey's whole set,
but
I say.
He was saying that, like, police would pull him over all the time just because his last name was Camiso.
Oh, really?
And he was like, and they were like, oh, is your uncle gonna... Like, he's like, well, people would be scared of me at school. They'd be like, is it? And he was like, who's my fucking uncle? You know, like, because Joey's like the most gangster affiliated seeming person,
but he's the sweetest,
without knowing any gangsters.
And
you
he's
know?
So he's so emotional and kind, and like he actually messaged me after. He's like, "I'm sorry I talked so much." I'm like, "No, that was perfect." Yeah. I was telling Alexi, "It's
that's what I text everyone after every day." I'm like, "Man, I'm sorry if I just dominated that and I didn't listen enough."
You know what's funny though is like having some friends from New Zealand. I realize it's kind of fine to interrupt.
Oh yeah. Just go for it. We're waiting for you. We don't stop and start. Yeah. We go until you interrupt.
No silences at all. That's what I say.
Yeah. Or the podcast. I don't know. Is the podcast format better when you kind of chill? Like, I'm worried about my my Sophie Buttle podcast, but I did on, was it Sunday? Yeah, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because her and I have like, well, this is my interpretation of it. Is that I've had a friendship crush on her for a while.
Yeah.
And I hope she feels the same. But so I was like first date nervous. You know? Like I was like, Sophie's coming over. You know, I'm gonna bake a cake. Which I did. And she's like, oh, I'm doing like the 16A. I was like, oh, just shoving the spice cake into the
You're like, no cake, no problem. Out
I
the
was,
window.
Like, pulling out all the stuff. But like there was so much stuff that we just never talked about that I'd wanted to tell her about me. Yeah. And I was like, you don't know this, but we have so much in common. You know, this. Like yeah. I was like, my dad smokes weed too, you know. I'm like, my mom's an artist too.
Yeah, yeah.
So our podcast was so structureless because yeah. I think we were both just like, blah, 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 and neither of us could finish a thought because like literally we'd be like, I'm going to talk about this, but first. Mm-hmm. And then we never got to even the second.
Well, that's why you got to do another episode.
Well, yeah, we have to do another one. But then at one point she was like, she said like, oh, Smile Club Direct is bad because I did it. And it
just
didn't work.
Got it.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh, I got the Invisalign. It's great. And then she was like, and I was like, that's the only thing people are gonna get out of this podcast. they're gonna be like, man, that was a lot of crazy. But they're gonna be like, oh, don't do Smile Club.
But it's been working for you.
It's been working for you.
Oh, I had Invisalign before and they like didn't fix my two front teeth. And that was like the only thing I really wanted them
to
fix.
I live in America. I'm not British. Like, fix this. What is this, London, mate?
That's her talking to her dentist.
What's this
bullshit?
I just turned into Joey. I was just like, what's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah.
But it's good. Like they're fixing it. I'm a little bit worried about my bite though. Cause it's like I had like bucked out teeth, sort of. And they're like just turning them inwards, and now I'm like, am I gonna be like full like underbite at the end of this?
You just can't eat pizza now, it just slides around in your mouth.
So you think Smile Club Direct is better than Invisalign?
No. I mean, like, it was good to do.
You just
like,
had a bad dude. Yeah. You had a bad guy.
I think like I just like they fixed all of the big issues with Invisalign, and now I'm just going in and like he just fixed tinkering. These two little teeth.
Ooh, I'm nervous for you, man, after what Sophie said, man.
I know.
What happened to Sophie?
Like, well, she was just like, it's not going well. Like,
oh, no.
She didn't go into any specifics. Mm. You have to, when next time you have her on, be like, girl, what are we, we're in this.
Oh, no.
We're $3,000 in this.
Yeah.
What are we?
It's definitely, but I mean, I think my like fix is so like minimal, and I did all the research into like, you know, people saying negative things like after I had ordered it. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, man.
But I'm like, I'm trying to stay positive. I think it's good. I think it'll be good. But like,
you said
I think
you saw some positive results like right away.
I'm definitely like, I'm seeing some positive stuff. I think if I wanted to do anything like more than like just my two front teeth, I'd probably be fucked. But
yeah, it's funny. Because I think about this a lot, as I said, with the England thing, because they're like famous for having
trash teeth.
Yeah, I know. It. And they're like, and then Chris said, I don't know if I just said this on the podcast, but because Chris went to London last year and he was like, man, British people are so ugly. Like, and he was like, freaking out. And I was like, what? Like, no, like just as a generalist. And then I thought about it and I was like, here, this was my thought. I was like, okay, so like British people think American people are shallow and American people think British people are ugly.
Yeah. You know? Maybe that's why they don't get along. They hate each other.
And they're like,
clearly
they're like,
hate
what?
Each other.
But no, but it's like, and then I like, sometimes I'll Google articles about it. I'm like, is this a, and then there were all these articles about it. And they'll be like, if you date an American girl, there's a British, if you date an American girl, you know, they'll tell you, they'll end up taking you to the dentist, you know, making you do a cool on flush, you know, it's a totally different world, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I guess there is this, but then I'm like, is that bad? Are we becoming obsessed with having to have, you know, like maybe the British people are just right, just chilling.
That's true.
You know, with their gnarly. Yeah.
And just relaxing with their
just being deep.
Totally horrible faces.
Just being deep. And it was brutal. I was like, well, Chris is probably going to be like, why did you tell the internet that I said that about British people?
Oh, that's okay.
But we're going to edit a lot, right?
We're just going to cut all the Chris Griffin stuff right out.
Yeah, stuff's gone.
Then he'll come in and talk about you.
Yeah. Well, no, because I know he watches stuff. He like, because like when he's watching, he watched it all and it was like, oh, interesting that you told them about my drinking. I was like, yeah.
I will say that Chris Griffin is a responsible drinker because he and I hung out one night.
He doesn't drink anymore, really.
Oh, well, that's it. Yeah, that's the most responsible drinking is just stopping.
He's chilled. He's really chilled since marriage.
Okay.
He's really pulled it in. Yeah. He's like, life used to be fun. Now life is like, oh.
Cuddling.
I'm married.
Spooning.
But like one thing that like Chris does as well, saying to Sophie is funny, is like because I like cook for Chris and, you know, I'm an actress and I do whatever diet that is, you know, whatever fad diet that is, you know, I'm like, have some chia, my love, you know, another green smoothie perhaps, you know, and then, and I love it. I love like watching Chris drink bee pollen and be like, oh, he's getting so good inside. But then Chris would just drink a lot and would just lie in bed and list his favorite fast foods.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be like, okay, Taco Bell, Shake Shack. Yeah. When I like the fries from Wendy's, but I like the burger from McDonald's. And I'd be like, man, I need to make some meat or something this week because this is good. Like, you just lie there and be like, okay, what are my favorite takeouts? Like,
sometimes that's a fun diet move. Like when I'm fasting, mm-hmm. It's just to think about what I'm gonna have when I'm done fasting.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a survival method.
Oh, yeah, but we'll drive to Abbotsford or Chilliwack to get Taco Bell.
Oh yeah, the KFC Taco Bell.
Yeah, because there isn't a Taco Bell, and
is there not?
No.
Nope.
Oh man, this is like a daily discussion at home. Like Chris is like, there's no Taco Bell.
A daily discussion had on the drive to Abbotsford to go to.
I was like definitely thinking of Taco Time because there's like a Taco Time.
Totally different, Lexi.
Yeah. Oh, Kimmy knows. I know. See, I didn't know these nuances.
Yeah. Taco Bell is like an American. More like an American kind of thing, and KFC. There's like not
Chris
really KFC.
Will come to life garden as well, right? Like Taco Bell in his eyes. Like he'll be like Taco Bell.
Taco Bell has great hot sauce. Yeah. That's what I will say. I love fast food hot sauce for some reason.
Oh yeah. Oh, McDonald's salsa.
Oh yeah.
It's breakfast burritos.
Right, yeah, right. That's really good.
Yeah,
we're hungry.
Oh, yeah. We're so hungry.
I know because we Skype with my mom on Chris's birthday and mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what are you doing? And so Madeline ordered Chris McDonald's like on Uber Eats as like a funny like prank present kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then I thought Chris would be like kind of over it because like he'd been doing this like semi-raw vegan thing for the last 6 months, looking amazing. You know? And I was like, hey, he's probably like can't even, he probably finds it too salty now, you know, but Chris fell on it. You know, with just like this unimaginable zest.
Well, like, it never goes away. It's like, you know, Super Size Me, that documentary about the guy that ate nothing but McDonald's for a month. Yeah. And then he stopped. And his wife at the time is this vegan chef. And then I saw him go on Letterman and he was like, this is like a year later. And he was like, what happens when you walk past McDonald's and smell it? And he's like, oh, I want it so bad. So that's never going to go away.
Man. Yeah, he's just like, okay, and then like my mom Skyped and I was like, oh, you should Skype and say happy birthday to Chris. And she's like, oh, happy birthday, Christopher. You know, so my mom goes, hello, Christopher. You know, she's in
like,
the garden.
French fries sticking out of his face.
And then she's like, what are you doing for it? You know? And Chris is like, oh, I had McDonald's. And mom's like, oh.
Sorry to hear that.
Mom was like, we don't eat McDonald's. She said, she goes, it's against our ethics. And then the rest of the day, Chris was like, McDonald's is against our ethics. Chris likes to speak Kiwi.
Yeah.
He's like, I speak Kiwi. Because this big thing at the moment is we'll say like, oh, I've got to go to hospital. And he's like, oh, you're not going to say I'm going to go to the.
Yeah.
So he's like, babe, I'm going to go gym.
Yeah.
Which doesn't actually sound weird to me.
It's just efficiency.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to go gym. He does like the Kiwi. He's like, I speak Kiwi.
Yeah.
He's like, gym.
Yeah, he's fluent in other languages. That guy's multifaceted.
He's a multi-talented man.
I do love Chris Griffin.
It's the theme of our podcast. We love Chris Griffin.
Yeah. That's the title of it.
Some of us more than others. Some of us committed to marriage.
Wow, that is commitment. All right, Sophia, thank you for coming on the show.
Okay, I can feel you trying to wrap up for the last 10, and I just pushed it away.
I wanted to talk about hot sauce more, but that's the kind of thing you do while you're eating it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for letting me on.
Of course.
I'll text you and let you know what goes in the edit.
Send us your timestamps.
Yeah. No, thanks so much.
Of course.
Sorry if I talked too much.
No, it was perfect.
No, it was
perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You and Joey Camiso should do a show together.
Yeah.
We'll just leave the room.
What, me and Joey?
Yeah. Oh, you guys can just.
No, because I'm like, whoa, Joey. Because Joey, like when he gave me Lift Home, we did a show just recently. Mm-hmm. And he was telling about his life really earnestly.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
You can't, I couldn't riff with really that. I didn't want to riff. I wanted to be like.
That actually would be a good podcast, them two.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just like, Joey, tell me more about how fatherhood has changed your perspective.
We should do an episode of Comedy Here Often where you and I aren't in it and it's them two.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
He'll be like, Silas. I was like, Joy.
You do an impression of him and he does an impression of you. Yeah.
Oh, he'll be like, g'day, so mate. Cute.
weird Australian accent. Yeah. Okay, Sophia, thanks for coming on.
Bye,
guys. Go ahead, plug your Instagram again, 505.
Follow me on Sophia Johnson 505 for hot stock tips.
Bye.
Bye.